I'd like to continue the series, Know When to Hold 'em and Know When to Fold 'em. Now, don't get religious on me. How many of you like card games? Card games, yeah. Of all kinds. And I found out that the Christian life can be compared, or actually life can be compared or characterized by some circumstances and opportunities that happen in card games. And you get dealt a hand, right? You sit at the table, shuffle the cards, and they pass them around. And then you get handed a hand, or dealt a hand. And then with recurring turns, help me out a little bit now, have a little fun in church. You have the opportunity to do a few things. You can dispose of cards because you think they're no value, or they don't help what's happening in your hand. You can pick up some new cards, and if you really have it going on, you have the right combinations, and you have the winning hand, and you put down different things. So it depends on what you're playing. And so there's putting down cards, there's taking up cards, and then there's playing the cards. Amen. Playing a hand. Hallelujah. So I want you to humor me during this little discourse, because I'm probably going to do several in the series of you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Amen. The last time, or part one of the series, I ministered on 7/27/2025. So that's July 27th, 2025, in case you want to catch up on that one. And that was, we talked about holding on to your faith declarations. That's one thing that if you're going to really have a winning hand in life, and as a Christian, you need to hang on and hold fast to your profession of faith in Christ. Amen. And your faith declarations. Tonight, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. I'm going to do a little more smorgasbord. And in case you're feeling that this is a little too unorthodox, maybe you and out there in TV land or computer land, like, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor Tom, about playing cards and the Christian life? So give me scripture and verse. So, all right, I'll humor you. Let's go turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 3, our first scripture of the night. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, watch this, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. So you're sitting at the table, you can't tell me that God didn't deal you something. So everybody got dealt something, right? They got dealt the measure of faith. I just had to throw that one in there. Hallelujah. So here's part two of you know when to hold them and when know when to fold them. 2 Peter 1:3-8, you already know that God has dealt you. Part of what he gave you was a measure of faith. But what do you do with that? 2 Peter 1:3-8 in the New King James Version says this: as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith. So there you are at the table of life. We're all sitting at the table of life. And we're being encouraged to add, or to take up different cards besides the card of faith, or the measure of faith. There's different things he talks about, and that is giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love kindness, you know, or to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours, and if they are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, Brother Hershey wrote a wonderful little book called Faith Additives, which was really awesome. He went through each one of those. I'm not going in that direction tonight, but tonight we're going to be looking at some primary decisions that you make when you're at the table of life and things are presenting themselves to you. So let's go with some basic ones. Number one, You have a certain hand that's held to you, and some of the cards God put in your hand, and some of those just, they're not the greatest cards. How many of you know that life hands you sometimes a set of circumstances that are, they happen to be in your hand, but just because you got dealt a set of circumstances doesn't mean that you can't discard those and take up another card. Right. Come on, somebody, and change the outlook of your life, or the outlook of the lives of those you love. It says here, for instance, here's one. It says, we can consider to trade the lower life for the higher life. If you're in your hand, you're holding a card, and it's like living in the flesh and living fleshly and without God. You know, you could be saved and still be fleshly. Did you know that you can be carnal? But the moment that the opportunity presents itself and a card comes your way, the opportunity comes your way to cling to Christ and to choose spiritual things, you need to discard the fleshly living and pull up that card right quick, the one about living in the Spirit. Amen. Look what it says in Matthew 10 and verse 39 in the New Living Translation. It says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Amplified Bible says this, whoever finds his lower life will lose it, the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find the higher life. So we understand that if you're always looking out for you and you're just grabbing for opportunity, then you know that there are a lot of people that are just so concerned about me, myself, and I. And it's a very fleshly thing, you understand. And Jesus very clearly says, look, if you're reaching and grabbing and clinging to things for your life, no, this is mine, 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 and you're not sharing with anyone, and you're not heeding the voice of the Spirit of God, that you're going to lose even what you have, because you don't have the life of God flowing through you. No, you're not. But look what happens here in Philippians 3, 7 through 9. There comes a point when you make decisions, and God won't do this all at once, but here's a great example of what Paul did. Little at a time, the Lord will put something before you and give us a chance to discard something. I don't know, pride, anger, bitterness, something. He'll tap you on the finger and say, hey, see that? Put it down. You don't have to put it down, but you get to put it down. If you want the fullness of life, you got to put it down. Hallelujah. And pick up what Christ has for you. Look what it says here. I want to show a very dramatic example of someone that really put the cards down. How many of you got such a lousy hand that you just put it all down? Just forget it. Give me all five new cards. And sometimes we've had that. I mean, sometimes you just get a lousy hand and it's just not good. Notice what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 7 through 9 in the New King James. And this is where Paul cashed in everything when his turn came. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The Apostle Paul, you know about his pedigree. He was the top of the top. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, of the lineage, you know, of upper class lineage. And he excelled in everything that he knew of, but suddenly he came face to face with Christ. And I don't know where you're coming from, what degrees you hold, what talents you may espouse, but the fact of the matter is when we all come to grips and face to face with Christ, you remember that experience that Paul had with Christ, he immediately was stunned, and he realized, who are you? Lord, he called him Lord. And you know, what's really interesting, he did an about face. At that point, he had that dramatic moment at the table where he just said, what have I been doing? Where have I been all my life? And he just gathered all of his little cards and he put them all in. I'm turning them all in. Just give me everything Jesus. I'll take everything Jesus. You know, if God could do that for the Apostle Paul, he could do it for your kids. If God could do it for the Apostle Paul, he could do it from some nasty politician. If God did it for the Apostle Paul, he could do it for your husband. For those of you wives that are praying for your husband. He could do it for your employer. If you got a really mean employer, right? God can do that. He could touch their life. I like what we've been preaching about love around here a lot in the last, Pastor Brenda started like Sunday and then you followed through Pastor Caleb, you know, as I have loved you. That was a great message. But you know that message about Bubba, that little thing about Bubba going on, you know, how that he just prayed and loved Bubba anyway. And God worked. Hallelujah. Let God work through you. If God could turn the Apostle Paul, trust me, this guy was serious. I don't know about you, but I think that a person that's stuck in a spirit of religion is one of the hardest people to win. They have a fervor about them that they don't let go easily. But if Jesus could get hold of that, trust me, he could get a hold of anybody. Hallelujah. And we need to do our part in prayer. Amen. We need to do our part in love as well. Hallelujah. Right, Pastor Caleb? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even Bubba will come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Or he was saved. It's just that he has to come around. We need to learn how to pull the best out of each other. Hallelujah. Yeah, even Christians can be carnal, you know. So notice something that you trade in when you come to the cross. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, these are things you already know. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The challenge with scriptures like this is that they're such a contrast, it's almost hard to grasp that old things are passed away. All things have become new. I was an old creature. Now I'm a new creature. You know, these things are sometimes hard to wrap our arms around them. But it's worth wrapping your arms around them and meditating on them. Because that's exactly who you are when you receive Jesus Christ. You are a new creature. A new creature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you may say, well, I never did drugs and I never killed anybody. I never went to jail. That, I'm sorry, but our righteousness ourselves is as filthy rags. Yes. Can I just tell it straight? Is that right, Brother Andre? We're telling it straight here. You're not good. You're flat, not good enough. Sorry, none of us are. But when you become a Christian, you become a new creature. You get washed in the blood of Jesus. Something new happens on the inside. Literally, you are a new person. Literally. It's amazing. I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, if you let your imagination run with it a little bit, it's almost sci-fi, you know? It's like you have the capacity to be completely different. Hallelujah. Now I know a couple of people in the house that I didn't know them before Christ, like Brother James. Brother James, I have a hard time believing that you are trying to imagine that you were maybe a mean dude because he's such a loving man. But Vicky, was he a mean dude? He was kind of mean a little bit, right? Back in the day without Christ. Sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you. But look at him. It's hard to believe that you would think a guy was mean or worldly when this guy, he just loves Jesus. Everything about him oozes Jesus. Yes. What is that? It's a new creation. Yes. That's what it is. It's a new creature. Hallelujah. And that story is played out again and again and again. I'm going to come over here to Brother Mike. Is it played out again in your life, Brother Mike? He cast his cards all in and got some new ones. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'm just so happy I was able to trade my cards in. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, some of these dramatic salvations, you know, I used to be a drug dealer and I used to be a heroin addict. Well, I don't have a testimony like that. I went to church all my life and I kind of was there and I tried to love Jesus my whole life, you know. And this, but did you know that even people that went to church their whole life, they need to be born again. Yes. And they need the new creation in their life. Yes. And they need the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. To walk in the way that God has called them to walk. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go here. So the new creation. So you trade in one creature for another creature. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. And indulge me with this just a little bit. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Oh, Pastor Tom, you're just putting that on. You better believe I'm putting it on. Amen. You better believe I'm putting on the new man. Amen. Nobody's, when you talk about people walking in the flesh, it all stinks. But when you talk about somebody putting on the new man created in Christ Jesus, you're beautiful. Amen. You're following the plan of God for your life. You're helping people. And you're helping yourself. You'll be a whole lot happier. Somebody say amen. Amen. And, you know, so here it is. And this passage that we just read in Ephesians 4, 21 and 24, the passage emphasizes a transformation in a believer's life where one is encouraged to discard the old self and embrace the new identity in Christ. Now, I'm going to talk straight to you. You could be a Christian, barely saved. Well, you're saved. Jesus loves you. But you can maybe not really put off the old man. And quite frankly, if you're walking in the ways of the old man, put it off. Take it off and throw it away. You're miserable anyway. The spirit on the inside is scratching and saying like, oh man, stop talking like that. Dude, don't have that attitude. Don't have that baditude. Dude, stop it. And then you know it doesn't feel right because you receive Jesus as your Savior. Listen carefully to me. But if you're on the process of growing up, you're becoming Jesus as Lord of your life. Notice it's a compound thing. He's Savior, right? He saves you, but he's also Lord. Savior and Lord. So a lot of times we say those two. Oh, have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you received him as Lord and Savior? Now, wait a minute. Not everybody that received him as Savior has fully embraced him as Lord.
That's right.
And he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you, not just to help you to be happy and successful, but to help you to perform the will of God such that you would be blessed and be a blessing to others. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So just because you went down the aisle, this is where a lot of people, they get confused. They say, well, I received Jesus, but, you know, they keep on in certain patterns in their life. They need to get their mind renewed. Hallelujah. You know about that, Romans 12, right? Get your mind renewed, man. And when that card comes up, by the way, when it comes to coming to church and exposing yourself to the Word of God, you need to grab those cards, man. You need to grab those and hold on to them. Hold on to the truths of God. Recite them in your spirit and in your heart. I mean, we've heard stories of how Pastor Mark would be, I don't know if he's waiting at a bus stop or what, but he's on his way to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's hard to believe. Hey, Pastor Mark, love you, man. He's over there frying chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken, or trying to. And he's saying certain scriptures to himself, talking to himself, saying, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's saying that over and over. What's he doing? He's hanging on to that card. Hold fast. You know, when the angel spoke to Mary a few things, he said, you know, Mary, you're highly favored of God. And what's about to happen in and through you, that's from God. And it says that she took all these sayings and it says that she held them in her heart. And she said, be it unto me according as you have spoken. But it says that she held him. I like the way it says she held those things in her heart. What are you holding in your heart? When you come to church and when things are ministered to you, when the cards are given out, spirit cards are given out, you go like, I need to change that. I need to start walking in love. I need to start letting go of bitterness. Pastor Brenna had a wonderful word on Sunday morning after the sermon. You know, and he says, what bitterness am I hanging on to? I have to let go of that and be honest. Be honest. You know, you can't hide from God. He knows your stuff. Come on. And he loves you anyway. Yeah. Nothing that you can do can make him love you more. Nothing you can do can make him love you less. Yeah. So you might as well just admit it and just open up your heart and say, God, I just got that card about bitterness. I need to let that go. Or how about pride? Oh, I got to let that go. Hallelujah. Let God work in you. Trade those bad cards. Trade that bad humor for good humor. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So here's one for you. So a primary response of a new creature or a new nature is that you do something about your will. God made us creatures of will. Is that right? I want to say this. I believe that we're not like the animal kingdom. They're creatures of instinct. You know, they fly at this time. It's amazing what birds do. They fly from here to there. Fish that go to the very place, salmon that go way out in the sea, they come back to the exact same spot that they were spawned. It's like, how does that happen? It's called instinct. It's pretty amazing. Don't you think God's amazing? But we are not creatures of instinct. We are creatures of will. God wants you to decide. We're not robots. It's not pre-programmed in you. It's not pre-programmed to just, yes, praise the Lord. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Good morning, honey. How are you? That's not the way He created us. Amen. He created us with volition. So that you could, He wants you to choose Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't want to force or bribe you into anything. And I love the series Pastor's been doing on Koinonia. He says, it just touched me so much, Pastor, when he shared that thing about God misses you. He really wants you. He misses you. You know those times that you would come together, just you and him? He goes there and he's waiting and they didn't show up. And then he goes again and he's hovering and he's waiting and, oh, they turned on the news again. Oh, they went to Facebook again. I mean, that really touched my heart, how much God loves us. Amen. His passion toward us. Hallelujah. Let's see where we're going. How are we doing on time? Not too bad. Hallelujah. We are created with volition. And so there is a battle of wills. Watch this. There's God's will, which is your ultimate good and the good for others. There's your will, which the lower will, you know, the lower self will choose self-preservation and self-gratification over anything else. It's me, myself, and I just got to get mine. And, you know, there's also the devil's will. He has a perfect will for your life to confuse you, to help you to self-destruct. You know, some of these people that win the lotto and win billions of dollars or whatever, in many instances, you will see historically, they destroy themselves. They have no self-control. They just go out buying everything, and nothing is restrained from them, and they end up destroying themselves. Come on now. The devil will do that. He will help you to self-destruct. And then he won't stop there. He'll help you to destroy others. That's his perfect will for your life. To destroy you by helping you self-destruct and destroy other people and make you think that you did it. And we know that that's true. There is a will of devil. 2 Timothy, real quickly, 2 24 through 26, the devil's will for your life. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps would grant them repentance so that they may now know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the Lord? No, the snare of the devil, having been taken captive. How? At his will. So he is out there. He's seeking whom he may devour or take captive. But, you know, here's an interesting thing. We want to find the will of God. We were created to respond to the will of God. Very quickly, Jesus, when asked by his disciples in Luke 11, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, they said, teach us to pray. And he started off by, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. I mean, in the earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? That's a really tough prayer. I mean, the example of Jesus at Gethsemane. I mean, when the rubber meets the road and there's a real trial on and it costs you something. Let me put it this way. Following the will of God will cost you something. It's not easy. The road to life, it says, is narrow. Few there be that find it. It's not an easy thing, especially for people that are looking for a free ride. Everything's good. I will tell you this. When you have the anointing of God on your life, there's no better place to be. Amen. Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison. That didn't look very good, did it? But eventually, it worked his way up to what? He was faithful and kept his worship of God, and he became second in command in all the land of Egypt. And as the story goes, he said, this all happened to me because God was positioning me to save many people alive. He saved so many people in the known world came to Egypt, and it was the wisdom of God flowing through him. But if he just wanted a cushy little life and he wasn't willing to be betrayed, if he wasn't willing to be thrown into prison, if he wasn't willing to suffer something, you know, he wouldn't have gotten there. You don't know. We don't know these things, but we do know that there's grace. When you pray through, and many of you are in the furnace right now, but when you're praying through, you feel, I'm telling you, you feel the grace of God on you to do this thing. It's superhuman strength. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said it was hard to do. You know, he brought friends to pray with him, and it's really nice to have praying friends, right, Pastor Nancy? Oh, yeah. But sometimes you're just in the garden and it's just you and God because they fell out. Where's all the friends now? So there's a Gethsemane moment where you have got to go to that place of prayer and you have to just really hang on to the horns of the altar and seek the Lord and find the grace. Where Jesus said, not my will be done, but yours. And he said what his will was. His own will was, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, Lord, just please work it out. But he says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but what? But your will be done. And something came on Jesus by the third round. He said, it is done, or basically, the Son of Man is already handed over into the hands of men. And so there was a grace that came on. I have sensed that grace in the hardest tests of life when it wasn't easy and I was seeking the will of God. And I say, I am not moving away from the will of God. And I could call it a Gethsemane moment. I'm sure many of you have had that too. All of a sudden, the grace comes upon you and you're able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and keep loving when loving is not easy to do. You could keep praying when praying is not easy to do. You could keep declaring when declaring is not easy to do. You could keep putting one foot in front of the other and you keep suiting up. I like the word suiting up. You put on the garment of salvation and you just keep moving one foot in front of the other. Even if it doesn't look like it. Even if it doesn't look like anything is happening. But something's happening because God is working. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to summarize. You saw the example of how Jesus handled the will of God, right? He said, not my will, but your will be done. But there was another person that had the will of God was expounded to him, and he did not respond that way. And that was Saul in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, in case you want to look it up yourself. Anyway, I'll summarize for the sake of time. Saul was afraid to listen to the voice of the people, and he did not obey God. He didn't do exactly what the plan was. He went freewheeling, so to speak, and he saved the best and of this and that. And then when the prophet Samuel came, he challenged and Saul said this, and be careful, because when we're talking to ourselves, we can really talk ourselves into a lot of things and you could talk yourself into a delusion. Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed. He was self-deluded. I did obey. I destroyed something. He said, no, you didn't. And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone to the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, the king of the Amalek. I utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, but to sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the word of the Lord? You know, we got to follow the word, folks. Obey the word. In other words, you know, in playing cards, there's sometimes you have wild cards. Sometimes deuces are wild, right? Sometimes the jokers are wild. I'm sorry, but praise and worship is not a wild card to get out of doing the will of God. If God spoke to you specifically, you need to do this. And you say, I'm just going to use this praise card. I'll just put praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll just sacrifice. I'm sorry. As it said in the scripture, that does not cover disobedience. And I'm not saying that God's out to punish you. I'm just saying we fall short of God's best. And if we're deluding ourselves, we say, well, I praise the Lord and I read my Bible this much. Hey, that's just religious work. We have to be responsive to Him. Amen. All right. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Praise the Lord. Can you give Jesus a shout? Hallelujah. So Jesus says Samuel said the Lord doesn't have as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, rather as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Word to the wise. Jesus really modeled this wonderfully, praise the Lord, about how to deal with your will. We already talked about Joseph. That's great too. Hallelujah. Let's see where I could bring this to a close. So you're sitting at the table, and I want to do some what I call easy plays. These are easier than some of the other ones. And that is Isaiah 40 talks about this. We won't be able to read it, but you're able to trade your weakness for His strength. That's it, easy. Like you're feeling exhausted and everything. You come to the table and all of a sudden the Lord says, here's the S card, strength. And you know, you grab that. You got to grab that card and hang on to it. You know, and what I like about the rendition of Isaiah says, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, not be weary, walk and not faint. It says, even the young men will faint and grow weary. Is that right? So it has nothing to do with how old you are. Listen, church, has nothing to do with that. It says, even the young people in the quote prime of life will fall out. But if you're waiting on the Lord and you got that strength card because you waited on the Lord, you're going to renew your strength. And you're going to be able to go on when other people are falling out. Hallelujah. That's right. And you know, strength, I got to put a plug in for this. You need to exercise your faith for strength. He is the strength of your life. But you gotta receive that. You gotta declare that. You gotta embrace that. You gotta hold it in your hand. You gotta hold it in your heart. And when weakness comes to attack you, you have to resist it. Resist weakness. Weakness is not good for you. And I realize some of us have varying degrees of natural strength, but we're not talking about natural strength. Brother Hagin talked about when he'd go and pick up those, what were they, peach trees or everything, they had seedlings, and he'd start out real slow, and there were some really burly guys, but he was just saying the scripture, and he'd pull up those peach trees. I think they were peach trees. And by the end of the day, or by the middle of the day, a lot of the big burly dudes, young dudes, they were falling out. But Brother Hagin, you know, as a young man, he's just pulling those, keeps pulling. He keeps pulling. That's how we're going to be. We're going to keep pulling. Hallelujah. We're going to keep pulling down strongholds. We're going to be pulling on the grace of God. We're going to keep professing the goodness of God, and we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. That's you, and that's me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How about this? Trade danger for insecurity and safety for stability. I love Psalm 91. Pastor does just such a wonderful job on preaching his series on Psalm 91. I'll just read the first verse. He who dwells, Amplified Classic, in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. It's hard to be stable in the Bay Area, you know. Stable living condition, have a stable transportation. For some of us, stable in our health, stable in our relationship. He is our stability. And we should not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day or the terror that comes across by night. Because read Psalm 91 sometime. You'll see that we are the kind of people that are dwelling in the secret place. The Lord covers us. You're covered. And we had a little chip on the windshield, and I called the insurance, and I realized, and it's covered. You know, when you have a Lexus and the windshield, if you have to pay for that out of pocket, you have to use a lot of faith. But it's covered. You feel good, like, oh, good, it's covered. Yeah, that's right, Christian. It's covered. Yes. Violence in the street, it's covered. Plagues that are going and different disease, it's covered. It's all covered. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. In you will I trust. You know, you could get mugged just as easily in Danville as you can in Oakland. And I know I'm preaching right now. East 14th or up in Stone Ridge Mall. The devil can inspire some person to do something stupid. And I tell you, you need God's covering. Hallelujah. Is that right or is that right?
Right?
Hallelujah. So you take your security card. Hallelujah. Do you, Pastor Tom, do you have Social Security? You better believe I do. I've got God's security card. Hallelujah. You could trade bad news for good news. Hallelujah. Stop listening to so much bad news. I said, turn your heart to good news. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, and crushed, and broken down by calamity. That's good news. We've got the Anointed One on our side. He loves us, praise God. I feel good about that. Trade your broken heart for a happy heart. You know, it's in there. He says He came to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. I know there are a lot of things in life that can be pretty disappointed, but He sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, to bind it up. If He said it, He wouldn't have sent that unless it was true, unless He could do it. He could take the sting out of things. I just thank God for that. Hallelujah. I'm showing that I need to close pretty soon. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's see where I can go. Hallelujah. Everybody having a good time? We're almost closing here. Praise God. I'm glad I got to this. So I want to give you a very dramatic example of someone that was handed a certain lot in life, But when Jesus came by, they very dramatically took that and threw it aside. And we want to, we're talking about Bartimaeus. And I don't know why we keep calling him blind Bartimaeus, because he isn't blind anymore. But they call him blind Bartimaeus. A blind beggar is a significant figure in the Gospels, particularly Mark 10, verse 46 through 52. Listen, he was sitting by the roadside in Jericho when he heard that Jesus was passing by. It should make a difference when Jesus is passing by. I mean, I love my church, man. I love you guys. I really do. I love my pastors. I love my church. I love our team leaders. I love my teams. You guys are awesome. But as awesome as you are, I can't come here looking to you. I have to come here looking for Jesus. I gotta have Jesus. You have got to have Jesus. That's who you have to have. And so blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the road, he hears that Jesus is coming. Wow. Despite being rebuked by the crowd, he called out to Jesus, identifying him as the Son of David and asking for mercy. There's a lot there that I don't have time to get to, but he was being called out by a messianic title, the messianic designation that connects Jesus to the lineage of King David, and he fulfills all Old Testament prophecies, and it's a recognition of the authority that Jesus carried, his authority and his divine mission. It was a declaration of faith that recognized Jesus as the promised deliverer who could heal and save. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. I'm going to skip to this. Let's talk about, I got three more points and then we'll close. The cloak. Bartimaeus is cast aside. The cloak that Bartimaeus cast aside is more than just a garment. It symbolizes his identity as a beggar. This cloak likely served as a government issue. Item that legitimized his begging. That'll preach right there. Government issue. Wow. Guys, don't depend on the government. Some people, they'd rather be sick than be whole and work. And they say, well, you know, the government's taking... Never mind. You take that up with Jesus. But it was a government, likely a government-issued item that legitimized his begging, providing him some protection from the elements. However, it also represented, listen to this, his past life and limitations. Here it is, the act of casting aside. You could say he took that card and threw it down. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and jumped to his feet. This act signifies a pivotal moment of faith and transformation. By leaving his cloak behind, Bartimaeus was not only shedding his identity as a beggar, but also embracing the possibility of a new life. He recognized that to follow Jesus, he needed to let go of what held him back. And to that, we bring up the story of the little monkey that is just an open cage with a banana. He sticks his hand in and he will not let go of that banana. I'm not letting go of that banana. And then the people just come and catch the monkey, because the monkey just has this instinct about hanging on to the banana. You're better than a monkey. Come on. You're going to take that cloak, whatever it is, that garment, whatever it is, and throw it down. I said you got to let it go. You got to throw it down. You got to trade that in for what Jesus has for you. Hallelujah. Now look what happened. He did it to embrace the possibility of a new life. The healing. After approaching Jesus, Bartimaeus expressed his desire to see, and Jesus responded, "Your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight. He then followed Jesus along the road, marking the beginning of a new chapter in his life. The story illustrates the themes of faith, transformation, and the importance, everybody stand to your feet, the importance of letting go. Letting go of past identities or things and embrace new possibilities. How many of you up for new possibilities in God? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, when it comes our turn, I pray that each of us, when it comes to our turn to choose life, that we will choose life, that we'll discard things from the old life, and that we'll reach forth the things from the new life. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha! Callings that are calling, praise God. I pray they would be courageous in Jesus' mighty name to choose life. Hallelujah. To be a blessing in our generation. We thank you, Father, for it, that you've provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. We choose you. Everybody lift up your hands to Jesus. We choose you, Jesus. We choose you, Jesus. Say it. We choose you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We choose you, Father. We choose you, Father. Lord, we choose you, Holy Spirit. We choose your promptings, your leadings, your correction and your admonition. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus.